So I just want to tell you that when I came into the studio about 2.5 hours ago, every single Israeli news platform was talking about the fact that the Iranians were striking Jordan. Apparently, they had fired up to 10 missiles. There was also talk about American retaliation against the periphery of an Iranian nuclear facility. Seems things were really heating up. And just before my discussion with my next guest, Joel Pollack, I went online to have a look. And all those stories have just disappeared off the front page of each and every source I have open in front of me. They're not on the front page of the Times of Israel. They're not on the Jerusalem Post. They're not on Yediot Achronot. So really strange, difficult to ascertain where we are. To help me understand a little bit more of what's going on in the Middle East today is Joel Pollack, opinion editor of the California Post. Joel, always an absolute privilege to have you with us on Chai FM. Thanks for your time.
Good to be with you. That last song was really great for me in Los Angeles. It's Boker Tov, good morning.
Okay, I'm glad to hear it, because as I was playing, I was thinking, boy, we could do better than that. But at least one person is happy, and that's you. So you made my day. Joel, it's so difficult to get a handle on what is happening. One minute they're firing missiles. Next minute Trump is calling them scum. Then there's where are we? Has the seaside totally broken down? Let me try and understand what's going on.
Everything makes sense if you understand it within a domestic political framework inside the United States. As we speak today, it's July, and there are less than 4 months to go until the midterm elections that will determine control of Congress. The Democrats have political momentum, as the opposition party always does in the sixth year of a presidency. History should suggest that they would take control of the House of Representatives, which is the lower house, as well as possibly the Senate, which is the upper house. If that happens, then President Trump is essentially a lame duck for 2 years. He has his executive authority, but he's going to spend 2 years on the back foot, and he won't be able to push new legislation through Congress very easily. So it will change the character of his presidency significantly. In order to prevent that from happening and achieve the really rare feat of holding on to Congress, I think the last president to do it was George W. Bush in 2002 in a midterm election. To do that, Trump has to keep gas prices low, and he has to keep the economy humming along. And he also has to keep inflation as low as possible, given that the Federal Reserve is inclined to raise interest rates to keep inflation down, which would also slow down the economy. So what you're seeing Trump do is switch back and forth between, on the one hand, saying the war is about to end, there's a deal about to be done, gas prices are going to fall again, everything's going back to normal, which calms the markets and lets people focus on the economy, which is actually doing rather well. And then going back to the idea of waging war, because the Iranians are playing the same game. Iran is looking at the calendar and saying, we just have to last another 4 months. If we can get through the midterm elections, Trump will be too weak to continue this conflict. And so knowing that Trump is up against this November deadline, what they keep doing is violating the ceasefire and trying to press for concession. If they think they can get a better deal by creating more chaos. So what does that look like for them? For them, it means keeping Hezbollah in place in Lebanon, which is to allow them, if they succeed, to keep a terrorist proxy force deployed in the field, to keep control of an Arab government that's in a strategic location, and to humiliate the United States. President Trump is willing to accept some amount of compromise, but they've gone too far this week with attacking shipping and now in firing at Jordan. And so Trump is going to have to retaliate. So he has, for the last 2 days, launched attacks on military targets in Iran, focusing on those targets that allow Iran to fire on shipping in the Strait of Hormuz. It's not clear how far this goes, because every time he does this, he also says that he's open to a deal and that the Iranian leaders are begging for it.
Have I lost you?
They're doing the opposite of begging for a deal. They're threatening more attacks, and they're acting like they're winning something when all they're really doing is uniting the entire region against them. So we're locked in this pattern, and it has to do entirely with American democratic politics. And that's a battlefield in this war. The elections in November are one of the battlefields of the war. And Trump can lose some seats. He might even be able to lose one of the two houses of Congress. But if he loses both houses of Congress, it's going to be a strategic problem for the United States. It's going to be a huge win for Iran. And it's also going to pose some problems for Israel. Right now, it looks like Trump is likely to hold on to the Senate. Republicans will hold on to the Senate, especially because one of the Democratic Senate candidates imploded yesterday. He had to declare his campaign over after he was accused of rape by a former girlfriend. Democrats were willing to stick with this guy. His name is Graham Platner. He's running for Senate in Maine.
Is this the guy with the Nazi tattoo?
Right. They stuck with him through the Nazi tattoo. I mean, Democrats were okay with the Nazi tattoo, but the moment it looked like he was going to slip in the polls because of his rape accusation, they decided he had no political future. And so right now you'd think that the Republicans would hold on to the Senate, but it's really hard to say because no one really knows what the mood of the electorate is. The polls are no longer really that reliable. And in these midterm elections, it's not a national election. It's really 50 different elections, even more. And so right now it looks like the Democrats have a chance of taking the House. Perhaps if they do very well, they could take the Senate. But you'd have to like the Republican chances in the Senate. And maybe even they could hold on to the House, given all of the gerrymandering, the redrawing of districts that's happened on both sides, which has ended up favoring the Republicans slightly. So it's up in the air, but definitely our midterm elections are one of the battlegrounds in this war.
It's fascinating the extent to which you've emphasized that is an effect. I'm wondering, and I don't know if this is hopeful thinking or not, but I'm wondering to what extent, and I understand that the war was incredibly unpopular within the United States of America and it wasn't sold, in inverted commas, properly, but is there a point at which American pride kind of, Americans turn around and say, we just can't be treated like this by the Iranians, and it will kind of galvanize some sort of support or movement for Trump to take harsher action, or is that just not a possibility?
Well, let me just gently push back against the premise of the question. I don't think the war is unpopular. The only thing that's unpopular about war in the United States today and throughout history is losing a war. And so if the war seems to be going badly, that's when people start to tell pollsters they don't like it. But if the war is going very well and it doesn't impose large costs on the American public, on the economy, you know, ground troops and deployments and so forth, then people are okay with it. And in fact, in Trump's own party, the war is quite popular, despite what you see on social media. Polls at least indicate to us that the vast majority of Republicans support the war effort, and they want to go further than the president has already. So it's not really about pride. I mean, it really is just about winning. The history of these things suggests that Americans are not willing to do anything for the sake of pride, that people are willing to accept a compromise, which turns into basically a 24 to 48 hour news cycle, if they move on with their lives. It will cement the war in their memory as having been a mistake if they walk away not winning. But I don't think people really do anything because of pride. I mean, they may go on social media and on the news channels. You'll see them on CNN, on panel discussions and things like that, shouting and screaming. But the calculations that go into these things have very little to do with pride. The American public would like to see this concluded successfully, which means a decisive outcome as quickly as possible. Unfortunately, there are so many factors that the president has to weigh that it really isn't, it doesn't look possible to do it quickly and easily. But, you know, I think he's managed it skillfully so far so that it hasn't become the massive problem it could have been. And militarily, it's been almost 100% success. So we'll see where it goes. I do think eventually some amount of ground force will have to be used, but whether it's used before November is an open question.
Well, that is an interesting comment. I just want to finally bring it back to Israel. It is interesting to see the Iranians have lashed out at the Jordanians, at the Kuwaitis. I'm not sure who else. I think there is another territory. I just don't remember which. Are you surprised that Israel hasn't been a casualty yet, or do you think that's still coming, or do you think that's too big of an escalation at this point?
It's a very interesting observation. I think that the Iranians know that the Netanyahu government would like nothing more than a legitimate pretext to unleash the full power of the IDF against the regime.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a credible threat. I think the Americans know it as well. And I think the Iranians are, thus far at least, keeping their powder dry as far as that goes, because if they do attack Israel in a significant way, then I think all bets are off. So you see both sides are playing this game. They're both using attacks and escalations as a way to manipulate outcomes at the negotiating table. But I do think the great mistake the Iranians are making, and they have made throughout, is they think that they can keep pushing forever, that they that there's some point at which they can force the president to accept whatever they think he should accept. You know, they made that mistake earlier. There was a trial balloon that was floated, and it was briefly floated and discussed by the Trump administration to see what the reaction would be domestically and in Israel, which is the idea of connecting the Lebanon ceasefire with the Iranian ceasefire. The Iranians said, if you want us to honor the broader ceasefire, you have to stop the fighting in Lebanon. You have to have Israel pull out. And the Israelis made very clear that they're not going to be bound by any agreement like that. And they're willing actually to sacrifice lives to prevent Hezbollah from coming back to southern Lebanon and being able to threaten Israeli cities in a significant way. And I think the Americans got the message, and they basically told the Iranians that was never going to happen. So what you saw happen as a result of that a couple of weeks ago was the ceasefire that was negotiated between Israel and Lebanon in Washington, which has been successful thus far and which could pave the way to a comprehensive peace agreement in the future. So that was very successful. And the Iranians pushed it too far. They demanded more than the American administration was willing to give. And I think they may be at risk of doing this again with the attack on Jordan. It's not the first time they've fired missiles over Jordan. They did that to get to Israel as early as 2024. But, you know, attacking Jordan means attacking an Arab monarchy. It means attacking a majority Palestinian country. And it could have consequences that would be quite severe. I mean, Jordan has a free trade agreement with the United States. It's a close American ally. So it's we don't know where this is going to go from here. But everybody, again, is playing on the battlefield of American domestic politics. And the Iranians are using the midterm elections as leverage, and they're trying to get away with as much as they can. They may have gone too far.